May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. If you have ever tried to step out of a perfectly good boat in the middle of a storm, you already know a thing or two about Simon Peter. I like to think of Peter as the patron saint of the impulse buy. He is the guy who jumps first, asks questions later, and handles the logistics somewhere on the way down. He is the person who watches an inspirational documentary at 2 a.m. and immediately signs up for a marathon, completely forgetting he doesn't actually own running shoes. He has a beautiful, passionate, thoroughly reckless spirit. And honestly, the Gospels would be far less comforting without him. Our reading today from the Gospel of Matthew places us right in the thick of a classical biblical crisis. The disciples are out on the sea in a boat, tossed about by the waves, battered by the wind, and Matthew notes that it is the fourth watch of the night. Now, that is an ancient Jewish terminology for that terrible time between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, when everything feels hopeless. It's the hour when your anxieties wake you up and force you to mentally review every single awkward conversation you had in the last few weeks. It's when the darkness feels heaviest and when your problems look completely insurmountable. And then right in the middle of their exhaustion, the disciples see a figure walking on the water. Naturally, because they are human, sleep-deprived, and it's the middle of the night, they don't have a profound theological breakthrough. They assume it's a ghost and are just terrified, and they start screaming. But Jesus immediately speaks comfort to them. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And here comes Peter. He doesn't just say, oh, thank goodness it's you, Lord. Please climb in and fix this. Instead, he yells over the gale, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I love this because it is so uniquely Peter. He doesn't just want to see a miracle. He wants to participate in it. He wants to be right where Jesus is, even if where Jesus is happens to be a liquid abyss. And Jesus, looking at Peter with the exact face a parent makes when their child proudly announces they're going to build a clubhouse but don't know how to use a hammer or saw, gives him one word invitation, come. So Peter steps out over the side of the boat. And for a second or two, it actually works. He is walking on the water. He is doing the impossible. He is the ultimate spiritual overachiever, leaving the other 11 disciples staring in absolute disbelief. I imagine them whispering to one another, shooting major side eye, and silently wondering if they had somehow missed that particular chapter back in Hebrew school. But then reality sets in. Peter shifts his gaze. He notices the strong wind. He remembers that water is liquid. He remembers that human beings are dense. He looks down, he panics, and down he goes. Lord, save me, he cries. Matthew tells us that Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. When Jesus says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? We often read it with the tone of harsh condemnation, like a frustrated parent or a disappointed judge. But in the Greek, the word little faith is almost a term of endearment. It's more like Jesus shaking his head with a warm, gentle smile and saying, "Oh, Peter, my dear, brave, foolish friend, we were doing so well. Why did you let the wind break your focus?" It is a tender, probing question of a teacher inviting a student into a deeper level of trust. Hearing this story always takes me back to a summer when I was 10 years old. My sister and I attended Camp Chapachala in Duxbury, Massachusetts, right out on the Cape. It was a beautiful place known for its incredible sailing program. One afternoon, I was out on the water with a few other campers, learning the ropes under the watchful eye of our camp counselor. Now, if you know anything about sailing, you know things can happen fast. The wind shifted, the sail caught the breeze, and somehow the heavy wooden boom swung around and knocked me clean out of the boat. There was no graceful cinematic dive, just a sudden, unglamorous flying sidewise, launching into very cold Atlantic water. I instantly hit the water, even though I was wearing a life jacket and probably looked like a giant, buoyant orange marshmallow, entirely safe from drowning. I was absolutely petrified. The water was vast, the boat suddenly looked miles away, and the shock of the fall completely paralyzed me with fear. I was sinking in my own small storm of panic. But then I looked up. Our camp counselor didn't leap over the side of the boat to give me a lecture on maritime safety. He didn't ask me why I hadn't ducked, or he didn't point out what I had done wrong, like standing up when I shouldn't have. He simply reached over the side of the boat, grabbed me, and pulled me back on board. The overwhelming thankfulness I felt in that moment is something I will never forget. I was dripping wet, shivering, and very much embarrassed, but I was back in the boat, and the counselor just checked me over, made sure I was okay, and we kept going. That is exactly what Jesus does for Peter, and it's exactly what he does for all of us. The good news of the gospel is that we worship a God who catches us when our little faith gives way to doubt. We live in a world with plenty of raging winds. We face our own deep waters, storms of health crises, financial anxiety, broken relationships, grief, and global uncertainty. These are days when the boom swings around, knocks us off balance, and leaves us petrified in the deep end. It is so incredibly easy to take our eyes off of Christ and look at the height of the waves. It is so easy to start sinking. But when you sink, Jesus does not stand over you with a clipboard pointing out your flaws. He does not say, "I told you so." He does not wait for you to perfectly formulate your theology before he acts. He reaches out his hand. He pulls you up. He wraps a dry towel around your shoulders, gives you that warm, gentle smile, and reminds you that you belong to him, even in your foolish bravery. We often think the goal of Christian life is to never doubt, to walk flawlessly across the water without a single splash. But maybe the real goal is just to be willing to get out of the boat, knowing that our Savior is an expert rescuer. So this week, do not be afraid to step out. Take the risk of love. Take the risk of vulnerability. Take the risk of faith. And if the wind gets the best of you and you start to sink, just remember that the hand of Christ is already reaching down to pull you back into the boat. Amen.